World Wide Web. Welcome to the first edition of What's Your Sign? I have your number. I'm your host, Sharita Starr, here for the next hour on WBCRLP 97.7 FM, Great Barrington. And those listening on the web at www.berkshireradio.org. We're opening up our first episode of the new year with the wonderful wisdom of meat and potatoes astrologer Anthony S. Pico. Anthony will join us later on to discuss the importance of today's solar eclipse and new moon at 13 degrees Capricorn and what this auspicious lunation means for your entire year ahead. So don't change that dial or your live stream, as we are about to tell you, listeners, all about how to take control of the free will that your spirit has as you continue to evolve in year 2001. 2001. 2011.
Lost in the beauty of the sky, breathing the moon, the colors of a rainbow, shed too soon, firefly, flicker, smile, shine like the sun. If life's about the journey, the miles begun. Hear the wind's tainted cry, sail soaring seas, watch trees as they die, for you and me. Tell me what's happening, tell me now what's happening. I tell you, you tell me what's happening. Heard from Dr. Kane that it's a crime to know in your heart but not speak your mind. Tell me now what's happening. Tell me now what's happening.
Good morning, Berkshires. We just figured out that we had a little mic incident here. Okay. Didn't realize I was talking on mic one before, and then I go back to use announce mic, and of course I have no sound, and I'm going, I swear, you know, it's the Mercury retrograde is over, but it's so not over. It is absolutely crazy. So welcome back again, Berkshires, and to those listening on our live stream at www.berkshireradio.org to another edition of What's Your Sign? I have your number. Good morning once again, and once more, happy Universal New Year 2011. I am your host, Sharita Starr, now here to tell you about all the planetary goodness in our zodiac skies today, Tuesday, the 4th of January, 2011. Woohoo! Today we find our sun is at 13 degrees Capricorn as our season of winter is now in full swing. Our sun has been taking our focus down to Earth, where the integrity and duty of Capricorn lives to create structure within your zodiac pie. Mars is also here at present, providing plenty of drive and motivating energy where the goat toils in your life since the 7th of December. Mars will move on to stimulate your Aquarian piece of the zodiac pie upon the 15th of January. As our sun passes through any sun sign, this is where you will feel the vibrant energy of the sun beaming its light to where its current transit is progressing within your natal chart. We optimally feel warmth and confidence within this area of the life as the sun is passing through it. Coupled with Mars here at present, there is a truly extra spark of light going on and perhaps some tension should you be reacting to Mars's intensity versus responding to it. What Mars is ultimately offering is the ability to do something about the Capricorn area of your life and strike up action here that is necessary to evolve and provide a drive to motivate you to ideally grow within this area of the life. Today's energies of the sun at the 13th degree of Capricorn means this Uranus-guided degree, and that's the 1 plus 3 reduces to 4, asks that we adhere to innovation, originality, and tolerance in our lives. The 4 is always enjoying non-judgment and embracing the understanding of brotherhood and sisterhood on a genuine level of humanitarian pursuits. The 13 tells us on a collective level that we should honor our own sense of regeneration and change by uprooting the old ground so that some new life can ideally emerge. Today is a marvelous energy to take time to explore your creative genius, as there is tremendous power to tap into here if one is not selfish. And by the way, Chaldean numerology doesn't regard the 13 as being unlucky in any way. In fact, if one truly understands the value of 13, they can manifest power and dominion within their lives. How lucky, indeed. As we look to the, today's the 4th of January, calendar date, we see that, and what do you know, yet again, we see the planet Uranus guiding this eccentric and individual number. Today, we are in the pure energy of the 4, wherein Uranus urges time spent in intellectual pursuits to arrive at the answers you may be seeking. This 4 energy allows for prophecy to unfold, wherein ideas discovered may even be a little ahead of their time, but are accurate in what they will eventually do when they break through. The human experience is one that is meant to be thoroughly enjoyed, and if there is one thing to truly gain from the energies of our sun and calendar date today is that our thoughts most certainly control the realities we unravel. So be sure to keep yours on the positive side, and there is no doubt you'll attract the same as life continues to unfold. Our current moon has been in the sign of Capricorn since 2:39 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday the 3rd of January. The collective's feelings and emotions have been engaged in the energy of the goat. Even though reliable, steadfast, ambitious emotions are easily aroused, be aware of gloomy, brooding, and suspicious feelings. While a Capricorn moon can engage a sluggish instinct, the capacity for diligent application and serious soul-searching can occur. The door to a greater self-awareness is wide open, as the goat prefers a self-demanding toil up the mountain of emotion. However, just make sure you are not so cautious and exacting that you'll repress or restrict your true feelings here. We have just entered our first waxing phase of the moon for 2011, as we now gather in the gaining light from our new moon in Capricorn, occurring at 4:03 a.m. Eastern Standard Time early this morning. As always, this is the time of the month that we are best to put forth these initiations and beginnings that we wish to see long-term success with until the next full moon upon the 19th of January. Well, also, minutes before the new moon, we also had an auspicious solar eclipse trigger at 3:50 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll be talking all about that and what this truly means for you later on in the show. You must all be thrilled, totally, like I am this morning, that Mercury has turned to forward motion since last Thursday, the 30th of December. Well, yes, our messenger is back to looking where he is going. We are still in the shadow of his recent retrograde passage from the 10th to the 30th of December. What does the shadow really mean? Well, Mercury began its retrograde passage at 5 degrees Capricorn upon the 10th of December, and then reversed itself all the way back to 19 degrees Sagittarius until the 30th of December. Now, our messenger and ruler of all communications movement is back to forward motions, so he's retracing those very degrees it just went backwards through until the 17th of January. This retracing time is called the shadow period of any retrograde passage. So if you absolutely had to make important decisions and appointments and things like that, and especially those things involving the signing of legal documents, then the shadow period typically is when you're going to have the opportunity to rework anything that happened to be made in error. And changes made from the 10th to the 30th of December relating to all realms of communications, travel, and the mechanisms that get us there, and movement of any kind can all be reworked back to a sense of normalcy under the shadow period. Just like me, trying to talk straight and find out what mic to use this morning. You know, hey. So, how many times did you blame Mercury for your actions under the recent retrograde? Well, it is nice to think that we can blame our planets from above for what may unfold down here on Earth, but truly, Mercury didn't hold a gun to your head or cause you to do anything. Meanwhile, we can look back and see how things like the major snowstorms in Europe and here in the Northeast, both before and after Christmas, caused more than their fair share of havoc for travelers or anyone who was thwarted by not being able to get where they wanted to go. Talk about needing to utilize some patience. We always say have plan B and possibly plan C ready to go when Mercury is retrograde. Be aware of what to do and what not to do under his trickster phase allows one for not to get as caught up or stressed out by the tricks he will cast our way if we choose not to pay attention. As my very special guest today says, in regards to blaming planets, quote, "And another myth about astrology is busted. Planets don't make you do anything. They are symbols and indicators, not the source of the trait or quality in you. Your astrological birth chart only represents what is already inside of you. You came first. Your chart came afterwards. Human beings existed for centuries before astrology was codified. The point I am making, astrology is a system, not a cause. And opting out of responsibility is not the best way to use that system. Even two people born at the exact same time, in the exact same hospital, same year, will still be different because they will make choices. And if the planets and signs actually forced you to behave a certain way, those two people would be clones, wouldn't they?" Unquote. Anthony S. Pico has been practicing Western tropical astrology since 1986, with hundreds of satisfied clients to his credit. Although he has dabbled in various forms and methods of astrology and is currently tackling new chart rectification techniques, he is a meat and potatoes astrologer, preferring to rely on the traditional tried and true. A member of the NCGR, he has also taught beginners classes and was part of an astrology discussion panel on BCA TV Brooklyn Cable Access. Anthony is indeed my tried and true Capricorn friend who can not only handle and make the most out of any retrograde period, but he innately knows how we can make proper choices in our lives to reap the best results from how our natal chart is here to be cast and utilized as our personal map that shares this profound wisdom from above to live optimally down here below. You can find Anthony on the web at www.cosmictuesdays.com. It's my ultimate honor and distinct pleasure to introduce to you, live via the phone lines from New York City, astrologer Anthony S. Pico to the show. Happy, happy universal new year to you, Anthony. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be back. Always a pleasure. And we certainly have some Capricorn stuff happening today, don't we?
Yeah, it's a new day for Capricorns, as far as I see it.
Yeah, and the eclipses are pretty interesting this year. I want to give me a minute. I'd like to lay a little background so that people that are not super familiar with astrology understand the significance behind eclipses.
Yeah.
Okay, everything in astrology is cyclical, and the moon, of course, goes through its complete cycle every 28 to 29 days every month. And every new moon is considered a time of beginning, and every full moon is considered a time of culmination.
Mm-hmm.
So generally speaking, from the new moon to the full moon, it's the better time to start things new, begin fresh. And the full moon is the culmination period. You've reached the peak, and like a wave, it's going back. It's the peak of the wave, and now it's going back down. So the full moon is a time to wrap things up and to bring things to a close, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
let it go, what? As I say. I always say, let it go after the full moon.
So now, technically, we could have a lunar and a solar eclipse every month, except the planets are a little out of whack, the tilt of the Earth and the how they vary back and forth. So basically, a lunar eclipse is a full moon. It always happens on a full moon.
Right.
So because it's about wrapping things up, lunar eclipses are generally considered to kind of be about the past. And every solar eclipse occurs on a new moon, so it's always a period of beginning. And the only difference is that because it's an eclipse, it sort of ramps up the intensity of that new moon or that full moon as it happens.
Mm-hmm.
So we're starting today as of 4:05 this morning, roughly.
Yeah.
We had a big solar eclipse at 13 degrees Capricorn.
Yes,
and that means that the sun and the moon were conjunct at the exact same degree of Capricorn.
Yeah.
So you have two of the strongest planets in the chart teaming up and zapping away at both the world and your personal chart.
That's right.
So this is the beginning time. This is the beginning of most eclipses are considered to have up to 6 months influence.
Of effect, yes.
Trigger
off like this whole energy for you in that area of the life that it goes off in. Yeah, absolutely.
And this particular eclipse happens in the middle or at the midpoint of Pluto and Mars. They're both in Capricorn now, too.
Yep.
So we're getting kind of an added quality of Mars, which is action and aggression and getting things done, and Pluto, which is a planet of transformation and power and evolution. So this is a fairly heavy four-planet hit in Capricorn.
Yeah,
and
if your birthday is today or yesterday or tomorrow, boy, that's right on your sun.
That's right on your sun. And that's the first thing is if you have any planets, well, I'm sure you want to get into the fact that it occurs at 13 degrees.
We'll talk about that. We sort of talked about that already, but I can elaborate on the 13, absolutely.
But Capricorn is not a planet that, a sign that jumps on anything. So the funny thing is that you're probably not going to see immediate results in most places with a Capricorn solar eclipse.
Right. It's going to be a patient process that you're going to see unfold from it.
There will be, of course, furious planning. Because
you will be more ambitious than you've ever been in your entire life.
Yes. And it's really about planning for, well, Capricorn and Saturn have a lot in common, of course. Saturn rules Capricorn. And so a lot of the themes of this particular eclipse involve self-discipline, commitment, hard work, practical abilities. No pie in the sky. This isn't an eclipse that's going to, you know, say, let's have a party.
Exactly.
This is an eclipse where it's kind of like, you better start getting things done.
Uh-huh.
You better start cleaning up, depending upon where it turns up in your chart.
Yeah.
I think socially, you know, not necessarily personally, but I think you're going to start seeing issues of leaders of all kinds being called to the carpet.
With
a sense of responsibility you have, whether they're political leaders or the leaders in the boardroom, or even for that matter, your local PTA or your local city hall, you know, are still, the leaderships are going to be called to question of whether they're being responsible, whether you're being practical, whether you're goofing off, and if you're goofing off, you're in trouble. You know.
Maybe we shouldn't go, oh, no, I'm kidding. Open that can of worms with our...
Well, there's always, of course, you know... As I always say, there's always a positive side to it.
No, there always is.
And
let's hope that they do the right thing now.
Well, yeah,
that's what I hope for them.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. Do the right thing, whatever that means in a given situation.
Yeah, whatever that means to them, but, you know.
You know, and it is a time when you probably can clean out an enormous amount of crap that you don't need anymore.
Yeah.
You know, Saturn, the theme of Capricorn, is about removing things that aren't necessary. And, of course, the big issue becomes what somebody believes they absolutely have to have and what maybe they actually have to have. You know, and that's sometimes why a Saturn transit can be difficult, because people think they need things that they don't really need, and Saturn takes it away.
Yeah.
But you're that's always...
What that's what Libras are realigning and figuring out right now.
Well, particularly because...
What they really need in their life.
And also particularly because Saturn in the sky right now is making a square...
Yeah.
With the eclipse.
Yes, it is. I was thinking about that, too.
This is such a Capricorn-Saturn. The themes are so strong. There's no wishy-washiness going on here.
No.
You know?
Nope.
It's Capricorn, 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 Saturn. You know? And honestly, if you look at the last couple of years and maybe even the last decade, this could be the beginning of an excellent cleanup time in general.
Yeah.
Pluto's going to be wandering through Capricorn for the next 8-9 years, it demanded some transformation, and here's a real kickoff to that, you know, and a chance to refine and get to what you actually need to get to, you know.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, we've had over the past year, like it was a year ago, well, not quite a year ago today, but it was, I think it was January 15th of last year in 2010 that we had a solar eclipse in Capricorn as well, but it was 25 degrees Capricorn.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and Mars was all the way retrograding in Leo at that point. So the effects of how all that was going on, and then Pluto was still in Capricorn at that time.
Still very early, though.
But it was really early, and, you know, Pluto's, like, totally in there now for good. He's not getting out.
Yeah, but we do have the benefit of mere moments after this eclipse in the short few days. Jupiter and Uranus are exactly conjuncting.
Oh, yes.
In Pisces.
In Pisces for the last time for a while, a long time, I would imagine.
So, well, it's at least
another 12 years.
Well, about 14, 15 or years roughly. But they both, as a result, begin their cycles anew from when they connect again.
Right.
But this is completely different in a funny way than Capricorn, because Jupiter, of course, is about expansion and growth and benefits. Mm-hmm. Uranus is about turning things upside down, freedom, new ideas. And I read somewhere that somebody proposed the idea that sudden, beneficial, surprising changes happen, and so we have Don't Ask, Don't Tell being repealed when suddenly nobody expected it to be repealed.
Right.
And then suddenly, out of the blue, Congress got up off their butt and got it through in a real shocker. I mean, people were sort of stunned. They didn't expect it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the benefit, particularly because it's in Pisces, which is about the world emotional state.
And
you know.
A lot more understanding.
Yeah, an open understanding in a surprising new way.
Yeah.
So that's one of the lighter qualities of this particular period, this eclipse, and what the chart of the eclipse is about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are benefits coming along, because shortly after that, Jupiter is going to scurry on its way because it moves so much faster than Uranus. But it is an interesting moment that probably helps alleviate some of the hard-ass qualities of Capricorn and Saturn.
Exactly.
You know. And for any individual person, if they want to look at their chart, the key thing to do is, one, if you know what your chart is, look to see where Capricorn is and which house of your chart is in.
And you want to see what that's going to trigger off there, because it will do something. Because it's interesting, when you look back to a year ago, you know, we had on the 15th one of the first solar eclipses in Capricorn. Mm-hmm. Then you had a lunar eclipse in June. I think it was the 26th or something. Where did I write that down? I wrote that down somewhere. The summertime, it was 4 degrees. That was interesting. In the summertime, you had a release in this same area of the life, but it was at 4 degrees Capricorn on the 26th of June. And now what that, you know, wanted to move out of the way ultimately really has made this complete space for what's going to show up new in your life now here, you know, wherever Capricorn affects you. And if you're a Capricorn, well, you know, it's a really good day.
Yeah, and I also do believe we're getting four solar eclipses this year, and two lunar ones. So there seems to be a lot of
We've got more coming in the summer, and then in the late fall. Actually, they're coming in, and they'll be in Sagittarius next time. So
there's a lot of turning up going on.
Oh yeah.
And it's now what you do when you look at your own chart. If you don't have Well, first of all, if you have a planet at 13 degrees Capricorn, or actually anywhere from roughly 9 to about 17 degrees Capricorn,
right.
This eclipse is going to hit the planet really hard.
Yeah.
But I want to start with just a general statement, is even if you don't have anything at 13 degrees Capricorn, the terms and the conditions and the rulerships of each individual house will be strongly affected.
Mm-hmm.
So an example, if you have Capricorn in your fourth house about home, and the roots of your psyche and family, it could be a time to clean up all the excess in your family and to clean out all the BS that's been going on that you need to get rid of.
Yep, and bring on the new.
Right. If it's in the seventh house of one-to-one relationships, there may need to be some more responsibility brought to those areas and mm-hmm. more and less.
And that would be even by the, well, or even if you're looking at, like, the horoscope collectively, you're going to get that, like, if it's this, that would be for a Cancer. So that's from like the collective perspective. This solar eclipse triggers for a Cancer. Yes, responsibility to relationships, or the fact that there's a new one coming your way.
Yes, it is. It's beginnings. It's definitely beginnings, but because it's Capricorn, it's not going to show itself right away.
No, it's going to take a little while. You have to be patient, Cancers.
As it gets itself ready, yes.
It's your man or woman or whoever it is that you're going to entangle yourself with is preparing themselves for you right now.
And two, for example, if this Capricorn thing turns up in its own house, the 10th house, which is public image, career, it's time to clean up your career and make sure that all those little threads that are going tangents that are pulling you off in different directions, you know, cut them off. Yeah. If they're not leading you somewhere, and focus on the direction you need to go. A big thing about Capricorn is focus. What's the point? Capricorn
right.
energy wants to know, what's the point of what we're working on? And what's the use? What's the practicality of
mm-hmm.
it? You know.
And that's for Aries right now with the career. Aries is going to find some real stimulation there in the career. And, you know, because I've said, like, everybody who, you know, however it's affecting each sign, you've had Mars in Capricorn since the 7th of December mm-hmm. to kind of give you a preview of what you've probably been thinking about, whatever these new beginnings are going to be, and you've gotten this, like, you know, little match of spark of light going on, but you've got to get that match to the wick, you know, and keep your flame going.
And I think in particular that the addition of the Pluto and the Mars to this particular configuration
is creating
Pluto adds so much natural power and energy
mm-hmm.
but Pluto is also about, you know, ripping out the stuff from the past you don't need anymore.
Exactly.
And, I mean, Pluto rules psychotherapy, and the whole point of that is to get rid of the junk from the past that's messing up your life now.
Yep.
And Pluto is also about deep transformation and evolution. So I think this eclipse can be, for some people, much more profound than others due to the nature of all the planets involved.
Yeah, and when you were talking about the 13 before, the degree of 13, the fact that numerically this is happening under this 13 understanding, and I know everybody goes, oh, the 13, bad luck, blah, 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 blah. No. The 13 represents, from the Chaldean numerology perspective, regeneration and change. So, oh my God, you can't get a better number to have an eclipse under, you know?
Because with Pluto involved, no. Regeneration.
And it's certainly with Pluto involved in the mix here. So it is... It really wants new ground to be dug up. You've got to kind of, it's like there's this image of the 13. It's like there's a man in a field with a scythe, I think it's called. And it's like, you know, that big digging instrument. And he's digging up the dirt and he's stirring it up and just, you know, putting to rest what no longer works. And so that he's going to have new stuff grow. But when you look back to that, how long is it going to take kind of thing? A garden doesn't grow overnight.
No.
What's happening when you regenerate and you change, it's a slower process. This isn't fast moving action kind of thing, but it's you're going to diligently see this unfold. You know, it's going to be, like I said, a patient process.
And this is a process. I mean, the garden's a good analogy, because Capricorn and Saturn will never drop something in your lap.
No.
It expects you to do the work.
You have to do your homework to get the reward.
But and I know some people are out there going like, oh man, I got to do more work. But it's leaning in your direction.
Right.
Okay. It's the time when it's the best time to actually get work done. So you may not like working, some of you out there.
Yeah.
But it's leaning in your direction. It's powering you. And like the person, you do have to till the field, plant the seeds. And,
you're going to have to weed your garden.
Weed the garden, but you will get that reward.
You will.
Long-term planning gives
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That is the key to it. And the 13th, and once you understand that 13, the Chaldeans always said you can manifest the most amazing power in your life through having dominion. But you got to have the dominion. You can't goof off.
Mm-hmm.
So it really, this 13 that it's that this eclipse kicked off at 13 degrees I love it. I mean, I just think it's great because, I mean, we need it, you know.
Yes, particularly after 10 years of Pluto and Sagittarius. We
I said the party. It was like the party. The party went on.
And okay, the hangover, we're done being hungover now.
And we're officially done being hungover. We are back to work.
It's January 3rd. New Year's Eve was a few days ago.
Exactly.
And we're back on the game again.
Mm-hmm.
So
we are. Yeah. And, you know, and it goes, and when we're looking at this whole collective thing, you know, it really does go with the changes that we're seeing, you know, in the world at large. It's like there are things happening, you know. And then I think, and we're going to have to pause for a minute, because do you know what time it is?
It's that break time, as always, at noon. It's the middle of the day.
It's the middle of the day. It's noon here at WBCR LP 97.7 FM, Great Barrington. And I am here. You are listening to What's Your Sign? I have your number. My guest today is Anthony S. Pico. And we're going to pause for a little community telling you what's happening in our new year. So we'll be right back with you, Anthony.
Sounds good.
All righty. Yeah, what's going on? What do we have going on here in the Berkshires in the new year? We got a new year. I hope you guys are excited because, you know, it's fantastic that we are now in 2011. I don't think I've ever heard so many people say good riddance to a year before than they did under 2010. It's really funny. So let's see now. What's going to spark up your January? How about author Courtney Maum on WBCRLP? Local author Courtney Maum will read selections from her new book, Big Things in Small Places, on Tuesday, January 11th at 10 p.m. right here on WBCRLP. Courtney received the Audie Talent Award at the 2009 Cannes Film Festival, and her fiction has appeared in the Woman's Times, the Co-Review, and Upstreet. This special hour of short stories presented by Courtney Maum will be hosted by Bob Bablo. And you can call for more information, 413-442-2223, and that will be, again, on Tuesday, January 11th, 10 p.m., author Courtney Maum, right here. You're going to hear her live on WBCRLP. And what else is happening? Ooh, this looks like fun. 2-for-1 on the January 15th. Stop by January 15th for 2-for-1 workshops on one day. From 10 to 12 p.m., there will be a breastfeeding workshop talking the basics of breastfeeding with a certified lactation consultant. Mm-hmm. Please stay for techniques to soothe your baby from 1 to 3 p.m. These workshops will be held at CHP Family Services Building, 442 Stockbridge Road in Great Barrington. You can call to register at 413-644-0104. And that's, again, it's a 2-for-1 workshop with the CHP Family Services on January 15th, one from 10 to 12 and the other from 1 p.m. to 3. And there you have it. Those are some things cooking in your new year here in the Berkshires. And yes, it's a new year. I love it. You're listening to Charita Star, and I welcome you back to the second half of What's Your Sign? I have your number. My honored guest today is astrologer Anthony S. Pico. We've been having a fabulous time discussing how our mighty planets are a marvelous tool to enable us to properly direct our free will as we interact upon this stage of our lives. You can find Anthony on the web at www.cosmictuesdays.com. And welcome back to the show, Anthony.
Okay.
And we continue. Now, funny, it never fails. I just like randomly, you know, pick a current PSA to read. And I just read the one about the breastfeeding, which is, I think is hilarious because I'm about to ask you that you were telling me that you have a new seminar for new moms that you're developing using astrology. That sounds so cool.
Well, yeah, it's in its planning stages and we're working out the details. Now, I'm not going to tell people how to raise their children because honestly, it's an individual thing, and I don't have any experience in that anyway myself because I have not I've had cats, but not children. They're a little different.
You're still a parent, you know.
Yeah,
they're just furry.
But what basically the idea behind this is it's a short seminar I'm doing with a fellow astrologer, and the first half of it is basically going to be laying out how astrology approaches. Fathers, mothers, children, childhood, and what it's about, as far as astrology looks at it. I mean, really, the three major areas of life is career, family, and relationships. So in raising children, these are the people that are going to be affecting the future. I mean, you can pass all the laws you want, but the quality of the children and the way they're brought up is really going to create the future.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of the things that I see in chart when I would point out in the seminar is the 10th house is considered traditionally considered the house of the father.
Absolutely.
And the fourth house is traditionally considered the house of the mother. And I'm using the word traditional because as society's changed, the person who plays the mother's role isn't always the female parent, and the person who plays the father's role isn't always the male parent.
Right.
But what I've tried to get to the root of is what that role is.
Mm.
And the moon represents the mother, and the moon is your inner self.
Right.
And
yes.
to me, whoever plays the mothering role, or as I sometimes call it, the inner parent, really is the person that hopefully makes you feel good about yourself inside.
Mm.
Okay, the one that turns you to face yourself, gets you to accept your emotions, accept yourself the way you are, love yourself, approve of yourself, and hopefully give you some sort of confidence. And I call that the inner parent. And then there's the outer parent, who introduces you to the outside world. And traditionally, you know, in the old days, the man went out and did the farming or did the work or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And
but now that's all different.
Yes, but he was the conduit to the outside world.
Right.
So that's what I say is the outer parent in the sense of, you know, the person who plays that role saying, well, what are you going to do for a living? How are you going to live? How are you going to be responsible?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Saturn and the Sun are both connected to the image of dad or father.
Yeah.
So that's part of what, you know, you want to lay out to the, these are the key things that, according to astrology, parents need to do.
Right.
Make you comfortable with your inner self and introduce you to the world and show you what's out there.
Well, and I do, you know, if I ever do like a baby reading or something, you've got to look at the moon sign for the first 7 years of you know, when you're developing, because that's really, as a person, that's where you're getting, because you're developing your emotions at that point. So it's, you know, you may be born, you know, a Virgo, but if you have a Pisces moon, you're really going to really act like a Pisces when you're a kid, when you're that young. And that's what you, you know, want to nurture and develop in that person.
And baby readings, I always have very mixed feelings about doing readings for babies because I don't want to be too specific. I don't want the parent to be saying, you know, you're 8 years old. You're supposed to be learning the violin right now, you know, because, you know, particularly I think first-time parents, you know, many of them are very hyper-alert. You know, they want to do a good job, and they sometimes can get caught up in what am I supposed to be doing. And so baby readings to me, I try to keep things loose. I give them the pattern.
Yes, as you should with the humans too. With the humans,
yes,
with the
yes.
adults.
But you can if humans. You're doing somebody's chart, you can talk to them and reason with them.
Right, exactly.
The baby is sort of. It's at the mercy of the parents.
Is that yes? And but you know, when you look at a child's chart, you can see that. You can see how it's going to unfold, because you see, also see when you're looking at the charts, you see the first 7 years of the life as far as what Saturn had, because Saturn is going to make its first square to the natal Saturn at 7 years. So
the first step towards growing.
The
up,
first step towards really growing up, and they really feel, you know, when you're, by the time you're seven, you're ready to do something.
Yes.
I mean, you know, whatever it is that you're meant to do, but and you can, like I say, you yes, I love keeping it loose, because you never want to do the prediction thing to the point that you are planting a seed in somebody's head that they're never going to get it out of there. And that doesn't allow them to utilize free will. You know,
and,
this doesn't.
Yeah, it's true. And you want to. Well, it's a tricky thing, because you want to guide.
You can guide properly, but never predict like, oh, this has to happen this way. It doesn't have to happen. It's going to happen how it wants to. Yes, and it'll probably happen. As we can see how these charts will, you know, the current transits will go. But they still have the choice. There's still a choice involved.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the other parts of the workshop, of course, are trying to just emphasize, like we did, I mentioned a couple of visits ago about the Cosmic Love Workshop we did. We just try to acquaint people with the concepts of fire, air, earth, and water in astrology and how they have different priorities. And if you have, you know, a couple of primarily earth-based parents raising, you know, a water baby, you may want to say, the kid's not going to be quite as practical as you are, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Or the reverse is true. The, you know, two water parents might be raising an earth baby, and they're going to go, aren't you feeling anything? And the kid's like, you know, what am I supposed to do next? You know, looking for rules. So the goal is to give just a loose feeling about how people can be different.
Yes.
And how, you know, why.
And that's okay that we're different, too.
Right. Yeah. I always think of that public service announcement where, you hear a bunch of voices are like, oh, he looks just like his dad, or he's just like his mother.
Yeah.
And the voice comes on and says, no, he or she is his own or her own person.
Person, that's right.
And that's really the key thing, is to just, you know, open up the astrological ideas of personality to people that are now greeting their newborn, you know.
Right.
Particularly new moms. I'm you know, the goal that we're looking for is to get to people who are first being parents for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just sort of offer some ideas and concepts for them to play with in their own way, you know. Like I said, I can't tell people, nobody can really tell you how to raise a child.
No.
You know, but of course there's plenty of advice books that will just hopefully guide people, and we're putting together an astrology interactive
that.
Seminar.
I think that's fantastic.
Of course, just anybody's curious about it, they can get to me through the website, you know, my website, and I can discuss it further. As I say, we're in the planning stages, and we're actually doing one this weekend, so we'll see how it comes off.
I love it.
Have a lot of promise.
Well, knowing that you're a Capricorn, I think this is going to be a promising thing. It's a new thing for you.
Well, we know Capricorns get younger as they get older.
Of course you do.
So I'll be 57 in 10 days, so I'm getting young enough that maybe I can understand children finally.
So, well, you know, the cats do help. I mean, I'll say, you know.
Yes, because you can't raise cats.
I don't have any parenting skills either. I mean, I've babysat, but that's about it right at this point. But according to my chart, Anthony, it's supposed to it's possible, you know, with the Virgo rising. This eclipse is very, you know, who knows?
Oh, that's true.
But then again, that would probably take a miracle from God, so.
You never know. Miracles happen every day.
You know, what can I tell you? But I'll align it to my creativity house. I'll go with it that it's doing lots of creative things this year, which I do feel, you know, driven about and stuff like that.
Well,
so
that's actually, I think that's actually one of the interesting metaphors in astrology, is the same house that's about personal creativity is also about the children you have.
Yeah.
And in a manner of speaking, every baby born is an act of creation and
that's
creativity.
That's right, yeah. Brainchild, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing.
You hear authors or painters saying, oh, my children, referring to their artwork or my stories, my musical pieces. So there is a similarity in a funny way, you know.
It is. I mean, it is. It's something that, because it comes out of you, you know, maybe not physically as a person, but it's certainly manifesting from your thoughts, and it manifests into a reality, into some sort of physical form. It may not be a living person, but that's what creation really is on whatever level it is. So, yeah, that does make a lot of sense that they've figured all that out. And of course, I think too, we're talking about the fifth house for Virgos, which is, if you are a Virgo out there as well, or you have a Virgo rising, this lunar eclipse did that for you, or sorry, solar eclipse did that for you. It's going to create something to be created from you.
Something useful,
something practical. And it also stimulates that your social scene is good. It's like it creates that, and also some love affairs. It can bring on a new love affair, because that's where you're. It's where you're most. That your fifth house is where you're playful, as well. So when you're in a love affair, hopefully you're playful in the love affair. It's when you get married you might have the problem, but.
Yes, that's true.
At least that's what they tell me. See, I haven't done that either. So. So let's see, what other signs should we, and if we talked about Aries, if you're a Taurus, I've told Tauruses, I think they should get their passport if they don't have one already, because they could be doing some foreign traveling this year.
That's everything in their ninth house. But could also, if they don't do the physical traveling, as always with the ninth house,
it's
there's
education.
Spiritual journey.
Yeah.
And higher, and so there could also be an opportunity for spiritual growth in, once again, a very practical focused manner.
Practical way. Or they take a new class to educate themselves in some way. There's a new belief that they're going to adapt within this. There's something just new coming in what they understand about what they believe is going to trigger off as well in that slow, patient way. And if you're a Gemini, lots of what's happening with Geminis? They're going through some stuff.
Yes, that's pretty intense. It puts that eclipse in the house of money from others, death, rebirth, sex, renewal. So, and of course, Pluto's involved in it too. It's going to be in its own house at that point. So there's certainly a lot of opportunity for deeply profound growth, which may be a little surprising to Gemini, since it likes to generally likes to stick on the surface.
It's going to dig up some deep stuff for Geminis.
Well, Cancer, we discussed earlier about relationships.
Yeah, Cancers and, are in the Cancers are finding the new relationship, and that may not always be the romantic one as well. You also can have a lot of beneficial partnerships come your way this year, things along those lines. So be on the lookout for those, and they will come in their patient way.
It's about one-to-one relationships. That's true, not just
The one-to-one thing. Yeah,
deep friends, business partners.
Yeah,
and then Leos are going to have a look at their health.
Yeah,
and work and service. So there's definitely, perhaps Leos, you may want to get a thorough checkup this year and see what needs to be taken care of. You could start a health regimen if you don't now.
New routine in that way.
Yes, a new health routine, whether it's changing the way you eat or changing the way you exercise.
Taking good care of their hearts, of course.
And also perhaps even for Leos, an act of service.
Yeah, there's a way that they're going to change how they're serving others, think, too. Or even the way, well, it's a house of employment, too. It's things with the way their coworkers and things like that can also see a little shift.
Yeah, the house of employment work as opposed to the 10th house of career, which is the overall view. But this is more about the day-to-day job.
Yeah, the routine behind, and your habits and things like that. And I also, the sixth house also rules your pets. So I said for Leos, I said, if you've been thinking about getting that new pet, there's somebody who wants you to come adopt them at the shelter.
That's true.
And we talked about Virgos just a little bit. So now, Libras have, lots of, things happening in the home.
Yes. That's the fourth house for Libras. It puts the eclipse in the fourth house. Home could be time to do house repairs, could be time to, but it's also about the deep-seated, again, we're getting to that deep-seated stuff. The fourth house is about the core of your psyche.
Yeah.
And so Libras could very easily be getting involved in digging deep into their past in a practical way, specifically to bring about the future, because this is a time of new beginnings.
Right. So, it's going to bring an improvement, for sure.
Yeah. So that'd be interesting there. And then we move into Scorpios. It's going to put everything in their third house.
Yeah.
And
new ways of thinking.
Ways of thinking, ways of communicating might be changed for practical use.
And things with brothers and sisters, I do believe, too, correct? Siblings may, have some, some things going on there.
There's also a possibility, since it's the house of your local neighborhood, I could easily see getting involved in local self-improvement things, or perhaps getting involved in on a city board or a local improvement committee, whatever it might be, that will focus on improving and creating a better neighborhood, a more practical neighborhood and area. So that's another possible use.
Cool. Good for Scorpios.
And then we have the Sagittarius coping with their finances, because it'll put the eclipse in the second.
You got more new money coming towards them.
Yes, but not right away. It's going to involve some investment and some commitment at first.
Yeah.
And it's the house of your possessions in general. Mm-hmm. So talent and possessions might be worked over too.
Mm-hmm.
Might be an excellent time to develop some new talent that you have but haven't ever put to use. That could be a great time to start.
Yeah.
Talent lessons of some kind, whether you always fancied drawing or always fancied, playing the violin or whatever. It might be a good time to begin the process. As Capricorn, you plant the seeds, because a little down the road
it'll grow. Yeah, and that talent probably will turn into something that could make them some money eventually.
Yes, because it's the second half.
Yeah, and that's exactly. So it's like it's the long picture, the long term picture there. But and if there's anything they haven't gotten rid of yet, they probably should get rid of it. That they don't, if it's not necessary, don't keep it.
Yes, that's the other thing to throw out. Throw out that old chair you don't need anymore, whatever.
Just toss it. Give it to Goodwill. Somebody else does need it, I'm sure of it.
Now, Capricorns, you're going to have all that stuff in your first house.
Yeah.
So you're laying the groundwork for some major change in the way people perceive you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the way you perceive the world, because the first house, as we
know, your first impressions. Yeah.
You know, it goes both how you perceive the world and the world perceives you. So there's a good possibility, particularly with Pluto involved, for Capricorns to have their minds opened up and see the world in a new light, and as a result, be seen differently.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is always scary for a Capricorn. To change their public image.
Of course it is.
But it's something, if it's all in Capricorn, they'll be comfortable with doing that.
Yeah. But yeah, and that Pluto there, too, is, it's unraveling the layers.
Yes, like the old onion, layer after layer.
Yeah, and that's going to be doing that for quite some time, but it's such a, I don't know, that to me, the more layers you unravel, the better it is anyway. I mean, that's me. I enjoy that but in my own personal life. But, I mean, I don't know how it works for Capricorns. I'm not a Capricorn, but.
Well,
it's awesome.
Energy, Capricorn energy always wants to get to the bottom of everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So, they want to strip all the layers off because they want to know what's in the core of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in general, you know, actually, since we're talking about stripping things away, the issue, of course, with Capricorn and Saturn and the kind of energy is honesty.
Yeah.
Quite directness, but a certain honesty. Yeah. No myths right now. No lies. No fantasies. It's going to get very focused for everybody with this eclipse for the next few months.
Sure. Yes.
And of course, then we have to deal with being an Aquarian and having all this planted in the house of the unconscious.
I know Aquarians. So Aquarians are.
Well,
I mean, it's not a negative thing, but if you're the type of Aquarian that detaches yourself rather than, you know, going for it and get diving into those inner realms, then it's going to be more challenging for you. So you have to, like, find a way to not be that, put up your walls. Don't put up those Aquarian walls. Take them down.
Yeah, and it's since it's in the 12th house, it's certainly a fine opportunity if you wish to go this route to get into any kind of psychotherapy, you're certainly going to have a very practical focus to it. And I think that because it's all in the Capricorn stuff, it's asking you to what's the point behind this therapy? It's not just, you know, how do you use these new beliefs and these new ideas about yourself to root out the stuff in your subconscious to get the crap out of there that's affecting you and become a more efficient.
And a great time, too. I mean, I said for anybody, any sign that if you had any really profound dreams last night, whatever your dreams were.
Yes, you were talking about that.
Are really potent. They're there, that symbology that's going to that showed up there relates to what it means for your horoscope somehow, some way. It, you know, there's... It's telling you some keys, but especially for Aquariuses over the next year or after this, like rounded about 6 month period, that their dreams are a real tool right now. If they can, you know, pay attention to those as well, and record them, write them down, study their symbol, and, you know, not look it up in like Zoller's dream book, but I mean, you know, apply it to your life, what these symbols mean.
Yeah, in a personal way.
Dream in books, a very personal way, yeah.
Dream books are limited, you know.
Yeah, they're very limited. The same meaning doesn't apply to everybody.
Right.
You know, what you were doing, and I mean, you know, the dreams are, that they, what is that, the question, the dreams pose 1,000 questions or whatever, but I mean, you know, it's like it's a mystery to figure out, of course, because it's the Pisces house.
And speaking of which, you know, Pisces in
and
general,
there we go, Pisces
put their this whole eclipse mess or positive thing. It's one of the things everybody you'll read in a lot of astrology books is every eclipse is a time of crisis of some kind.
But
crisis, it just means there's a lot of energy out there and things are happening.
Yeah.
And it plops all this in their 11th house, the house of group goals, the house of the future, and
hopes, wishes.
And the house of friends, and that's the communities you work with friends, not the one-to-one friends of the 7th house.
Right.
So
yeah.
This could be a wonderful time for Pisces who tend to, like, feel everybody's feelings.
Of course.
To use that Capricorn energy to cut the focus.
Yeah.
Down to what the people that matter, the goals that matter in the terms of future, and what part of the extended network they use that's actually working, and go with them. So it could help shape up and focus the ever empathetic and compassionate Pisces, you know. So that's a good opportunity there even for people.
Yeah.
And it's probably a good idea to make use of this eclipse also, because in a few months, in a very short time, dear disruptive Uranus is moving into Aries.
I know.
And it'll be there for 8 years.
Yep.
And it's as...
Get ready for the roller coaster, kids.
Yeah. It's the planet of sudden change. It's the planet of chaos. It's the planet of individual rights and freedom. And it's kind of been in Aries, Pisces the last 8 years. So the effects have been a little, I don't want to say watered down, but more all over as opposed to very pointed and specific.
Exactly.
And yeah. Now you're going to have a period, particularly when it first moves into Aries, where suddenly that's the energy of Aries behind disruption and freedom and change.
Yeah, and with the Jupiter there with him for, but not very long. Jupiter's buzzing through Aries, and that's the end of it. And then it's in Taurus.
But it's going to light the match when Aries.
It's going to light the match. This, get ready for the match to be lit this spring. Let me tell you, throughout June, that's really going to be, because it's like at the middle of June that Jupiter will be through all the way through Aries already and into Taurus. So you've got that one point section there from, like, it's March till June that they're both in Aries at the same time.
And so, there could be some surprises. I mean,
I think it will be
in Aries the next 8 years, but that first pop into that sign is probably going to burst some pent-up stuff that'll... I can't say what it is because it's, of course... Uranus is about the unexpected.
Exactly.
So the more you try to predict it, the less likely it's going to be what that is.
Hard to nail that one.
Yeah.
And Uranus is like, I'm not telling you.
Yeah, so it's just sort of just be ready, you know, sort of be ready to roll with what happens.
We got to be ready to roll.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the advice for 2011. Be ready to roll.
Yeah. Well, somebody.
Oh wait, is that borrowing something from somebody that used to say?
I don't know. Well, somebody actually gave me a very funny. They used the term. If you're familiar with the movie Spinal Tap, about they said everybody's amplifiers goes to 10, and he had a special amplifier goes to 11.
Oh boy.
And which means, of course, well now we're going to 11. We've left 10 behind.
We're in 11 now.
So now we're going to push it to the edge now. You know.
All right.
Go a little further with 2011.
We're going. Well, Anthony, thank you so much for joining us today. This
always
was
fun.
A pleasure to have you on the very, very first show of 2011, our year of, I say, evening it out. That's what I say about the 11. So,
yes.
And again, you can find Anthony on the web at www.cosmictuesdays.com, and you can check that out and get into contact with Anthony, if you'd like to have more information. So have a beautiful, beautiful year. Happy, happy solar eclipse.
Yes.
All right. We will talk to you, I'm sure, later on in this year.
Yes, I hope so.
We'll have a little update.
Enjoy yourself.
Okay, you too.
Take care.
Be well. Bye. Thank you. All right. So be sure. You've been listening, by the way, to What's Your Sign? I Have Your Number. Here on WBCRLP 97.7 FM, Great Barrington. And remember, if you have a question, comment, check out saritastarradio.blogspot.com. And, you know, we always love to hear what you have to say. You can also go right to the website here, www.berkshireradio.org, and also leave comments, because we value your opinion and your voice matters. Stay tuned. You're listening to WBCRLP 97.7 FM Great Barrington, and we'll see you next time for another edition of What's Your Sign? I Have Your Number on the 18th of January with my very special guest, yoga astrology founder, Diane Booth Gillam. Diane will be returning to the show for another not-to-miss hour, where she will be sharing her expertise on how we can all take advantage of movement in our lives by aligning yoga with the current zodiac energies surrounding us. This will surely be a fantastic show to get you out of any winter blues and cabin fever that may be lingering by then. We hope you're better from our hour together. Namaste and much love to you, my dear stars. And once more, Happy New Year, the Universal One, 2011. Getting